It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okbenesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome in. I am your host, Colbert. A Tuesday edition of the show underway. It is January 17 of 2023. We got a fully loaded show like usual. Details forthcoming. First things first, thanks so much for being here. However you tune in, and there's a number of ways. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. And like the Facebook page, type in 1650TheFan. You'll find it there on the Zuck Machine. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Also got to bookmark that website, not just for the stream. It's where you get the podcast of this show. It's where you can get each weekday's Waterloo Blackhawks Minute and the weekend previews and a whole lot more, including all sorts of local and statewide sports content. 1650thefan.com. Bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Number to dial if you want to join in today with any questions or comments to add to the show, 319-277-1918. Save it in your phone, 319-277-1918. Or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. Any questions or comments you might have, if you'd rather do that than call, by all means, fire away. You could also send along any suggestions you may have for something you'd like to hear about or someone you'd like to hear from on a future show. We've gotten suggestions over time, and there's been some good ones. And so don't hesitate. Don't be shy. Send me an email, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Like always, we'll get it rolling here in just a few short moments with area sports news and scores for your Tuesday. If you heard the Drive at 5 look ahead before the top of the hour, a full slate of Metro boys and girls basketball tonight. That will be among what's in the stack today. I'll be sure to get you the matchups. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one. That's when you get a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday, which, if you heard the weather before the top of the hour, that's looking maybe a little sketch, as the kids might say. Sounds like some snow is going to accumulate. It's just a matter of how much. And, you know, this morning it looked like maybe 4 to 8 inches. Now maybe a little less. Who knows? We'll see. So just be aware of it and be prepared. And Megan Mulford will get us the latest, like I mentioned, if you missed it before the top of the hour, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. After we come back from that first timeout, we'll be joined by our friend David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, and the 24/7 Sports Network. Some big news today as it relates to an Iowa Northwestern men's basketball game scheduled for tomorrow. Perhaps you saw that news already on our social media channels. Just another reason why you should be following us on Twitter or like our Facebook page, but I'll get you those details here in just a few short moments. But we'll also talk about that news with David Eicholt when he joins us. We'll dig in beyond that on Iowa men's basketball, which is on a 4-game winning streak, and Lisa Bluter's Iowa women's basketball team. So look forward to David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com coming up here in the next segment of today's show. After we're done talking with David, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. During that break, we'll come back on the other side and continue our journey around the Cedar Valley and surrounding area as it relates to boys and girls high school basketball. A lot of great, great teams in the area, and we're checking in on another one today in the third segment as Joe Smines, the Jessup High School boys basketball coach, joins the show. The Jayhawks, 7-4 overall this season. They're 3-1 in the East Division of the North Iowa Cedar League. That's good for second place in the NICL. Absolutely loaded once again. And so Coach Smines will join us and talk about that 7-4 start. They're coming off a 2-point loss last Friday night at 11-1 Wapsie Valley. So we'll break down that narrow loss. We'll look at the body of work over 11 games. And I'll also get a preview of the game that the Jayhawks have tonight at home against NICL foe Sumner Fredericksburg. So look forward to that. Jessup boys basketball coach Joe Smines in the third segment of today's show. After we're done talking with Coach Smines, we will take the final timeout of today's show. That's when you get an NFL Network update as well as Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We'll come back after that break for a final time and wrap up what is a Tuesday edition of the show. All right, before we dive into area sports news and scores, I imagine many of you were listening and or watching last night. The Monday night finale of Super Wild Card Weekend featured the Dallas Cowboys in Tampa Bay to take on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And a 31-14 win for the Cowboys. And I think I mentioned it yesterday on the show where it was so hard to predict this game. The Cowboys had not won on the road in the playoffs in forever, 1993 to be exact. And the Buccaneers, the probably four times, I know I at least watched them four separate times this season. They were on TV plenty, right? They were just not that good. Not that good of a team. They battled some injuries, yes, but they just were not able to reload. Kind of restocked that roster along with the injury troubles, and there was some regression there. And even the GOAT, Tom Brady, at 45 years old, was not able to transcend all of that. And also wonder, too, about the dynamic with Bruce Arians resigning, I think, is that what it was, as coach, where it seemed like Tom Brady only was going to come back if Bruce Arians wasn't the coach, even though statistically speaking, Tom Brady had his best ever season with Bruce Arians. I'm a big Bruce Arians fan. I understand that he could be abrasive as a coach, but how much might that have cost the Bucs some success this season? We'll never exactly know, but what does Brady do now? That's the big question. As much as the Cowboy fans out there want us to talk all day about their first road playoff win since 1993, and now all of a sudden, despite their kind of lackluster start or end to the regular season, that the Cowboys said they're a Super Bowl contender. And maybe. I said as much earlier in the season, maybe not quite halfway through the season, when that Cowboys defense was really humming and Dak Prescott had not gotten to that point where he was getting really loose with the football. Despite missing a good chunk of the season, Dak Prescott was among the leaders in interceptions this year. But he played really well last night, Dak did, and that Cowboy defense got it going. But then again, it was against this Buccaneers team that just has not been good. They have not. So Mike McCarthy, I suppose, gets to keep his job, but I think it'd be a bit of a stretch to say that the Cowboys are for real in terms of Super Bowl contention. They've got their work cut out for them, if we're being real about it. But Tom Brady, he's got this clause in his contract where he's an unrestricted free agent. And if you were listening to the Dan Patrick Show, the Jim Rome Show, Rich Eisen Show throughout the day today here on The Fan, they all played the postgame audio where Tom Brady thanked the media contingent in Tampa for being respectful of him with their coverage throughout his time there. And it really struck as a message of, hey, like, I'm saying this because I probably am not going to see you guys again. Whether that's retirement on the other side or signing as an unrestricted free agent someplace else. And I do wonder if the Las Vegas Raiders, with his former offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, may be the first ones in line to try to woo Tom Brady. And that speculation is just going to be probably the most dominant off-season storyline, don't you think? I think it would be ahead of Aaron Rodgers and what happens with him. Aaron Rodgers has 53 million reasons to return to be a Packer. So I think this Tom Brady storyline, not that I'm breaking any news here or going out on a limb, but just get ready for it, that that horse is going to be beaten dead and then some. So we'll see. If I had to bet right now, I'd put my money on the Las Vegas Raiders for where Brady ends up. But who knows? This will twist and turn, and he'll probably retire and unretire again. Who the hell knows? But nonetheless, some good football last night, playoff football right here on The Fan. Let's dive right in here on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company, area sports news and scores. Last night in a Metro high school basketball game, 2A, second-ranked Applington Parkersburg defeated the Waterloo Columbus boys 76-24, and the 14th-ranked Applington Parkersburg girls defeated Columbus 74-39. The latest Iowa High School Athletic Association boys basketball rankings have been released, and several area schools are among those ranked. In 4A, Cedar Falls is 10th, and Waterloo West is 9th. In 3A, Waverly-Shell Rock is 10th. In 2A, Applington Parkersburg is now 2nd, and Grundy Center is 10th. And in 1A, Gladbrook-Rhinebeck is 4th, Dunkerton is 5th, and Wapsie Valley is 10th. Meanwhile, tonight in Metro basketball games, Waterloo-Columbus hosts a girl-boy varsity doubleheader against New Hampton. Waterloo East travels to Ottumwa for a girl-boy varsity doubleheader. The Waterloo West boys play at top-ranked Cedar Rapids Xavier. Xavier top-ranked in 3A, as I just mentioned. The Waterloo West boys now ranked 9th. Meanwhile, the Waterloo West girls are at home against Cedar Rapids Xavier. The Waterloo West girls ranked 3rd in 5A, while the Cedar Rapids Xavier girls are ranked 3rd in 4A. And then tonight, the Cedar Falls Tiger boys play at Iowa City High. That game you can hear on our companion station, Cruising KCFI. Pregame begins around 7:15. Meanwhile, the 14th-ranked Cedar Falls girls play host to Iowa City High. The Iowa Wrestling Coaches and Officials Association has released its newest dual team rankings. These rankings determine the regional dual sites as the top eight in each class will host. Area schools in the polls include, in 1A, Don Bosco is number one, Nashville Plainfield is 4th, and Wapsie Valley is 7th. Meanwhile, in 3A, Waverly-Shell Rock is 3rd. Waterloo Blackhawks' Aaron Pionk has been named the USHL's Defenseman of the Week. Pionk had a pair of big efforts in the Hawks' 2 wins over Des Moines this past weekend, picked up 4 assists in the come-from-behind 7-5 win in the capital city, then picked up a goal in the Blackhawks' 4-3 overtime win at Young Arena on Saturday. Among defensemen in the USHL, Pionk is tied for 4th in scoring with 22 points and ranks 5th in goals with 7. After its narrow loss at number 2 Kansas on Saturday, the Iowa State men's basketball team is looking to bounce back at home tonight against 7th-ranked Kansas. The 12th-ranked Cyclones face a Longhorns team that is 15-2 overall, off to its best start since the 2009-10 season. It's an important conference game for ISU. Texas as well, and Kansas State. They're all tied for second place in the Big 12 at 4-1. Kansas is in first at 5-0, and the Kansas State Wildcats, they play Kansas tonight. Big night for Big 12 basketball, and you can hear Iowa State battle Texas right here on The Fan. Pregame show begins at 6, tip-off at 7. As I was mentioning earlier, here's the news. The Iowa men's basketball game, scheduled for tomorrow night against Northwestern in Iowa City, will not be played due to COVID-19 amid the Wildcats roster. The two schools are going to work with the Big Ten to reschedule the game. Tickets will be good for when and if that game is rescheduled. Iowa will now next play at Ohio State on Saturday. Tomorrow was going to be Chris Street Remembrance Day, nearly 30 years ago, of course, January 19th of 1993. Former Hawkeye Chris Street died in that automobile accident. The Big Ten Network is debuting a one-hour special on Chris Street's life and legacy. That was going to be at 10 o'clock tomorrow night on the Big Ten Network. With the postponement of that game, it's going to be at 8 o'clock now. And the UNI men's basketball team back at home tomorrow night hosting Illinois State. UNI looking to bounce back after its loss on Saturday at Belmont that snapped their four-game winning streak. Tip-off of that one at McLeod Center will be at 7. Meanwhile, UNI sophomore point guard Maya McDermott has been named the Missouri Valley Conference Women's Basketball Player of the Week. She played a big role in the Panthers' 2 wins this past week against Drake. She hit a running floater with just 0.3 seconds left for the win, 70-69 over the Bulldogs, finished with 19 points and 6 assists in that game. She followed that with a 12.3-assist performance in UNI's 73-68 win at Evansville on Sunday. There you have it, area sports news and scores for your Tuesday. Let's take this time out. We'll talk Hawkeyes, Iowa men's and women's basketball next with David Eichel of HawkeyeInsider.com on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, we got some good news from last night's loss from the Buccaneers is that Russell Gage, who was carted off with a concussion, is feeling good today. He posted on social media thanking everybody for their thoughts and prayers and said he is okay after spending the night in the hospital. The Chargers will have a offensively next year after firing offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi passing game coordinator Shane Day, while Jim Schwartz today named the Browns' new defensive coordinator. 4 games in the NBA tonight, starting with the Raptors and Bucks in Milwaukee. Both are coming off wins yesterday, while the Nets open a 5-game road trip in San Antonio, looking to recover from back-to-back losses. Both have come without Kevin Durant, who's out at least another week with a sprained knee. They expect to have Ben Simmons back in the lineup, however, now Kyrie Irving is questionable with a sore right calf. The Sixers are in L.A. to face the Clippers, looking for their 4th straight road win. And the Nuggets look to take over sole possession of the Western Conference lead with the Grizzlies idle tonight. Denver goes for its 7th straight win against the Blazers. I'm Rich Ackerman.
I'm JR. CBS Sports Radio has moved to SiriusXM Channel 158. Or listen on your local station. Find your local affiliate at odyssey.com/stations.
Lock your radio to The Fan tonight for Iowa State men's basketball. Coverage begins at 6.
Knutson Chiropractic in Cedar Falls has proudly been helping the community for 3 generations. I'm Aaron Knutson. At Knutson Chiropractic, we want to help you achieve your full health potential. We want to not only add years to your life, but add life to your years. If you're young or old, a weekend warrior or a couch potato, we can help your aches and pains. Give us a call or text us or visit us online at KnutsonChiropractic.com. Always up front so you can leave the pain behind. Knutson Chiropractic in downtown Cedar Falls.
At the Family YMCA of Blackhawk County, sports and activities are going on year-round. Basketball, volleyball, pickleball, and swimming lessons start soon. Take a class from one of our 40-plus fitness offerings and start your new year off right. Pump some iron, walk on the track, or swim laps in the pool. Have a great time with all your friends at the Family YMCA Blackhawk County, located at 669 South Hackett Road in Waterloo. The YMCA, strengthening the foundations of our community.
Find your style with Patriot Lighting ceiling fans from Menards. Choose from our huge selection of in-stock options. Patriot Lighting ceiling fans add elegance to any room and can help reduce your energy cost year-round. We carry a great selection of different styles and finishes, so you're sure to find a look that's right for you. Save big money on Patriot Lighting ceiling fans. You can also view all our lighting options and ceiling fans today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Check out VSiN's catalog of original podcasts, daily and weekly programming to keep you in the know when you're on the go. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Divisional round of the NFL playoffs set. The Jaguars, an 8.5-point underdog at the Chiefs. The Eagles, a 7.5-point favorite at home against the Giants. Both games on Saturday. Then Sunday, the Bengals plus 5 at the Bills, and the 49ers, a 4-point favorite at home against the Cowboys. College hoops tonight, a top 12 matchup in Ames. 12th-ranked Iowa State hosting number 7 Texas. Both teams coming in 4-1 in conference play. The Cyclones, a 2.5-point favorite, 131.5 the set total. It'll tip off at 7 at Hilton Coliseum. The Iowa Hawkeyes will be at home against Northwestern Wednesday.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. A winter weather advisory begins at noon tomorrow and continues until 9 a.m. Thursday. Lows level off around 26. Tonight, under cloudy skies, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs around 35. Tomorrow, chance for mixed precipitation. Snow likely. Tomorrow night, 28. Cloudy. 4 to 8 inches of snow. Tomorrow through Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 32.
You're listening to Cole and Company on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us now. Make sure you bookmark HawkeyeInsider.com, subscribe, follow David on Twitter at David Eichel. How you doing today, man?
What's going on, buddy?
You know what? I'm doing all right. We're going to start here with this postponement of this game, and I don't want to kill the mood or get too into the proverbial weeds here, but I suppose the most responsible place to start this with this COVID postponement of Iowa Northwestern men's basketball tomorrow night is that apparently there still are some protocols that are in place. I didn't think they were, and one of them would be a minimum player requirement. Is that true, David?
Yeah, I also think that that rule's been in place as far as I can remember. I mean, think back to that Big Ten tournament a few years ago with Nebraska. Remember, they had to have a couple of football players end up being on the end of that roster. Yeah. I believe that was the last year of the Tim Miles era. So
yeah.
I believe that's always been the case, Cole. But, you know, I don't think COVID really impacted the numbers standpoint, but I think it's impacted the way they forfeit versus no contest versus postponement. There's still a couple of different protocols there. And look, Northwestern is an injured basketball team too, Cole. I mean, this is a group that has been riding an 8-man rotation for the past couple of weeks. And, you know, when you ride a rotation like that, you don't have a lot of guys available. If there's a mini COVID outbreak, you can't keep them on the bench. I understand why it happened the way it happened. But I also think it's very unfortunate for Iowa because Northwestern's off 2 games losing streak. Iowa's won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it would have been a very emotional night inside Carver Hawkeye with remembering Chris Street. I believe it's the night before his 30th anniversary of his passing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And obviously, I can speak for many people that will tune in to what the Big Ten Network's going to present, if I'm not mistaken, now at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Instead of what was originally scheduled for 10 o'clock tomorrow night with that Chris Street program. But yeah, just wanted to understand, you know, the rules that are in place because I don't want the hangover of COVID protocols to allow it to allow a team to get a postponement when they should, you know, have to take a forfeit. You know what I mean? That's how I'm coming at this. I just want, you know, blue collar competition to remain as much as it can.
Absolutely. And, you know, on top of the – we'll go back to the Chris Street documentary really quick. Well, I actually got a chance to view the entire thing in its entirety early.
Nice.
It's going to be a very emotional documentary. It's an hour long. Then now they're airing, I believe, the game after Iowa versus Michigan 1993, the first game after Chris Street's passing. That's going to take place after the documentary. So good on the Big Ten Network to do that. But there's a lot of hidden gems in this documentary. They have the driver of the snowplow talk for the first time since 1995.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, this is going to be a very, very in-depth piece that I think is going to hit to the heartstrings of not even just Iowa fans, but just Iowans in general. So I'd highly, highly recommend people tune in for that. But I'm with you, man. I mean, to go back to the game part of it, I mean, Iowa's riding a momentum high. Northwestern's faltering. And I think on top of that, Iowa would have loved to continue to get momentum because things are not getting easier, Cole. They go back-to-back road trips to Ohio State, Michigan State. They'll have Illinois coming up. And Illinois has really gotten its swagger back since, you know, not that the two are correlated, but point guard Sky Clark left the team indefinitely. And Illinois has really risen from the ashes to some extent. They've won 4 straight games there as well. Then Iowa's going to play Purdue, and Zach Edey is probably the National Player of the Year right now. I know a lot of people want to discredit him because he's 7'4", but the guy's playing the basketball at a high level right now. You can't take that away from him.
No, the ball's got to, you know, it doesn't put itself in the basket. So give that kid some credit. And, digging in on the basketball here, I'm sure the Hawks would like to honor Chris, with a win in their next opportunity at Ohio State, like you mentioned. So let's talk about what's now a four-game winning streak. Is there some commonality through these four games, David, or is it maybe not as simple as we always like to put it, where it's like, well, this has been happening? No, maybe it's possible that a number of different things have been happening. What have you seen now looking back over a four-game span?
I think you and I talked a few weeks ago, Cole, and the thing that I remember from the conversation is when you and I talked about Iowa just did not look inspired to play basketball. I mean, they really didn't look connected. They didn't look like they were playing for a purpose. And this is not directly correlating to Patrick McCaffrey taking leave of absence for his anxiety, mm-hmm. but I really think it gave the team a rallying point, and they just look so much better on film as of late. I mean, everything they're doing, the transition offense, different guys stepping up, Peyton Sanford is showing you exactly the caliber of basketball player that he is, because that 0-for-19 start, anyone who's ever watched Peyton Sanford play knew that that was not who he is. I mean, I know, you know, you being in the area, you know how you're familiar with Peyton Sanford and yep. how great he was in high school, one of the best yep. shooters in the Midwest in his recruiting class. I think him playing at a very high level, the game against Michigan was unbelievable, that second half and all the shots he hit. Getting Tony Perkins back going again, had a career high 24, I believe, in the last outing against Maryland. And Philip Robracha, Connor McCaffrey continue to pace the team. So I think it's just a lot of different guys stepping up. I think they're playing inspired. I think ever since the second half of the Penn State game, they've really, I know they lost that game very, very close, but they've really just turned it up a level. And I think that you're really seeing the caliber of team that they can become. And it's very interesting too, Cole. You look at the KenPom ratings. I'm huge on that. I'm sure you are too. Mm-hmm. Their defensive efficiency rating is not good. In fact, it's like been the worst in 5 years. But you look at them eye test wise, I think they have stretches where they're better defensively than they've been in the past 2 years.
When you can get the stops when you need the stops, that's what's most important, especially in this Big Ten race. And, you know, Tony Perkins, David, with the career high in points against Maryland, I thought it was interesting. I know he didn't make a three. I don't even think he attempted a three.
Correct.
In that game. It seems to me like whether it was him on his own doing or maybe one of the coaches got in his ears and says, you know, like, you can put the ball on the deck as good as anybody in this conference. How about you do that and get back to the rim? You know, get back to being, you know, kind of that downhill dog that we know you can be.
No, I think that's an excellent point. I think sticking to the strengths and getting back to what he knows. And Tony Perkins said after the game, he said, look, I feel like I was really starting to second guess a lot of what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I really, you know, and I think getting back to what he knew and just, you know, not questioning his own actions has been such a big thing. But as a basketball analytic nut, the way I am, Cole, those contested mid-range pull-ups, which he's good at them, make me want to rip out my hair just from an analytical standpoint. But he's done a great job in transition. That one-handed dunk, I think he took out a lot of frustration over the past few games with that. And look, don't get me wrong, he's been happy that Iowa's been winning. But Tony Perkins, being that dog that he is, he wants to be a big reason for it. He wants to contribute to the team. So getting him back in his element, especially when Iowa's hitting three-pointers the way they are, if you can draw the defense in with the athlete that Tony Perkins is and him being dangerous when he can get to the rim and he can kick it out to open shooters, I mean, that really just gives Iowa's offense another dynamic that I think they missed for a couple of games during that losing streak. So I think getting Tony Perkins rallying around is a very big deal. I think he's one of the big X factors on this team. I think you could say the same thing about Connor McCaffrey. I think you could say the same thing about Peyton Sanford, because if Peyton Sanford's hitting threes, the team just looks so different. I think we saw that against Maryland. I think we saw that against Michigan.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Make sure and follow him on Twitter at David Eicholt. All right, David, and mentioning that, hey, if this team wants to get where it's capable of getting, Peyton Sanford has to play well. Tony Perkins has to play well. Connor McCaffrey has to bring what he's capable of bringing. We know Chris Murray, the known commodity. He's the alpha. He's the guy that's looked to most, game planned against most. But typically, you know, if you want that little extra bit, there's got to be a guy who maybe coming into the season you thought could do a little something, you weren't quite sure, or maybe it was someone that you weren't expecting that kind of crops up. And there could be a name that goes beyond the one I'm going to mention right now. But Aaron Ulis is a junior, and he's getting toward the back half of his junior season. You know, have you seen enough from Aaron Ulis where you go, you know what? I think the best version of Aaron Ulis, at least for the rest of this season, could be this. And, you know, how does he get there? How close is he to getting there? How much of an impact could he have? To me, he's a little vexing, if you will.
No, and that's an interesting point, too, because, look, I think what you saw against Maryland is, I don't want to say his ceiling, but it's the best thing that he can bring to the table. And if he can just bring the guy who can – if he gets an open three, he makes it great. If he takes care of the ball, dishes it, fantastic.
Yeah.
If he can get to the rim in transition, even better. But, you know, he's played enough basketball. I don't think he needs to be this dominating star guard. I think he needs to be in control of the game, help pace Iowa, hit a three or two, and get everybody else involved. So I like the way you're going with it, but I am going to throw out another name, not to completely deter your question. Mm-hmm. I think Josh Dix could play a huge role where this team goes, because against Maryland, he had the 5 assists in the first half. Against Michigan, he had 10 points, hit a couple of three-pointers. And the most impressive thing about the Michigan game, Cole, he only had one turnover in 31 minutes, and that was his first extended run at point guard at the college level against a ball-hawking defense the way Michigan can be with the athletic guards that they have. So if you can just get Josh Dix to be a good backup point guard, maybe swing him to the two depending on the lineup,
mm-hmm.
and get Aaron Ulis to just be in control of the game and help pace Iowa, I think the other pieces will fall into line, because, yes, March is won with great guards, but it can be won with efficient guards that understand their strengths and weaknesses and put the ball in a position for it to be scored. And you have Philip Roche, you got Peyton Sanford, you got a couple, Chris Murray, obviously, you have a couple of other pieces. So it will be interesting. I think Iowa's point guard play and backcourt play could really, really determine where this team goes, because I think something else really quick, you have to give Iowa a lot of credit. They've been out-rebounding opponents despite being undersized. They've really, really turned it up, and it's been a group effort, not led by one or two guys.
Just to wrap it up here, and they deserve more time than just kind of what I'm getting at here, and that'd be Lisa Bluter's Iowa women's basketball team. But Caitlin Clark saying the word damn it and getting a technical for it, I mean, it's like just when you think officials – who we love to be nice to because it's a thankless job. Lord knows we need more of them at the high school level, particularly. They just can't help themselves. You know, it's like for all it takes is one bad official to make the 100 good ones just shake their head in disgust. And what an exemplifying moment of that in that game where Caitlin Clark gets a T for saying, damn it. That's not how you grow the sport.
It was bad, Cole. I was watching her when she got it during the play. She clapped herself, said, you know, damn it, shook her head, and that was that. And she got a technical. Not even Courtney Green would have called the technical foul on her, Cole. That's how bad it was. So, look, shout to Ray Gun shirts, by the way. I got to give them some love. They helped hook me up with a damn it T-shirt, and they cited my tweet in that. So I got to give them a little bit of love. But you know what? If you want to grow the game, don't tee up the best player in the sport for 3 years running, in my opinion, for a thankless technical, for showing emotion. If you want to grow a sport, let them show emotion. Let them show the fire. Let them be competitive, and let them show their personality, because I guarantee you, if you turn on any men's game, Cole, we are seeing 2 to 3 F-bombs. Not hearing it, but you're seeing the players mouth it on TV, and guess what?
Yeah.
They're not getting teed up.
No, not at all. And I thought Caitlin handled it as well as she could afterwards, with the remarks that she made too. So I guess we just try to get better. That's all we can do now.
You just say damn it and shake your head, Cole.
Yep. Damn it. All right. Good stuff as always, David. Take care, man. We'll catch up again soon.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you. Take care. Have a good week.
Likewise. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up. On the other side of the break, we'll keep talking hoop. Jessup High School boys basketball coach Joe Smines joins us next on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Two of the contenders in the Big 12 Conference collide tonight in Ames when 12th-ranked Iowa State hosts number 7 Texas. Iowa State coach T.J. Otzelberger says defense will be a key against the Longhorns.
You know, they want to get up the court and transition and play fast. So transition defense is important. Not letting them get something early, not letting them get in the paint, limiting them the one shot. all those things are going to be important.
The Cyclones are coming off a 62-60 loss at second-ranked Kansas. It'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off in Hilton Coliseum. Iowa's game tomorrow night at home against Northwestern has been postponed due to COVID issues in the Northwestern program. The schools are working with the Big Ten Conference on rescheduling options. The Hawkeyes are 4-3 in conference play and 12-6 overall. They return to action Saturday at Ohio State. This is Radio Iowa.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The 24th annual auction to benefit Magical Mix Kids is back in person this year.
This is Tad Ritter.
And I'm Gordy Sorensen.
Join us Friday, January 27th at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cedar Falls for this casual attire celebration featuring live music, light meal, and a live and silent auction. Join RE/MAX Home Group in helping chronic and terminally ill children in the Cedar Valley.
Thank you to our dream sponsors, Service Signing, Zavu's, RE/MAX Home Group, and Koloff Media.
February is American Heart Month, and at the Waterloo Career Center, we have students who are fast-tracked to go into the medical profession. Our classrooms include hospital-grade equipment, like an ambulance simulator that provides our EMS learners with the opportunity to train in the most realistic way possible. And our students, well, they're just like Ray.
Hello, my name is Ray, and my goal is to save lives as a paramedic and EMT.
Ray is a senior at Expo and is studying right now to be an emergency medical technician and paramedic. Her bold is saving lives. At the Waterloo Career Center, we offer a collegiate-level academic experience in almost 20 tuition-free programs. We're proud to help Ray and students all over the Cedar Valley do more of what they love and what they do well. Do you have a middle or high school student in your life? What's their bold? Help them find it at the Waterloo Career Center. Give us a call at 319-433-1803. With us, the future is now.
Working from home or back in the office, don't miss a minute of Cole & Company. Just ask your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And as we've been doing throughout the boys and girls high school basketball season, spreading our wings beyond the metro and a lot of high-quality basketball going on in the Cedar Valley and surrounding areas. And today we're doing just that. Jessup boys basketball coach Joe Smines, our guest right now. And the Jayhawks, 7-4 overall so far this season, 3-1 in the North Iowa Cedar League East Division. That's good for second place right now. And Coach Smines, first things first, thanks so much for being here. Looking forward to talking Jayhawk basketball.
It's cool. It's good to be on again like I was last year at the end of the season. So good to hear from you.
Yeah, likewise. And first things first, let's just start with your last game, Friday night, and what an opponent you had, and an 11-1 Wapsie Valley team that's in first place of that East Division of the NICL. You guys almost got the job done in enemy territory, 56-54. You guys come up just short in that game. So I would imagine by now you've gone back, you've looked at the game film, Coach Smines. What were your biggest takeaways from your team coming up, you know, just that close to getting a win against the Warriors?
Yeah, you know, Wapsie and Jessup, that's a long, long-lasting rivalry. You know, Coach McCowan, I've known for 30-plus years. Him and my dad go way back. He's actually from my hometown. We're from the same hometown, so I've known Marty for a long time. Bill Coach, give him a ton of respect for that program. They have two outstanding players, and in Harder and Westfall, we felt like we had a great chance to win the ball game. Went over there, and it was a typical Wapsie Jessup game, packed house, two really good teams battled each other defensively for about 32 minutes. We had a five-point lead with about 2.5 to go and couldn't quite close the door on them. Just didn't knock enough shots down late in the game to get the job done, but was really proud of our defensive effort. We're not a very big team, and, you know, Harder's 6'8", so we had to battle and scratch and claw to give ourselves a chance, and we thought we had a great chance and just didn't get it done. Westfall for them hit some big shots, and credit to Wapsie, and we'll get a chance at them later in the year again.
You've got 11 teams under your belt with this team, Coach Smines. Have you been able to pinpoint yet, you know, is there any trends in terms of, I know that if we get better, you know, with this, that we'll level up and we'll be that much tougher of an opponent in what's obviously such a tough conference race that you guys are a part of?
Yeah, I mean, we returned two players off of last year's state tournament team, one being Jack Miller, who's an outstanding player for us, and Brevin Dahl, who played a lot of great minutes for us. And other five guys that play for us are relatively new. So we were trying to, you know, early in the year, trying to find our way a little bit, trying to figure out who we are. Then right after Christmas, we actually lost one of our bench players, Landon Vogel, to a broken ankle. So now we're basically playing six guys, and we're trying to work our way through that a little bit. And it's tough when you play such a difficult schedule in the league. But, you know, I would tell you, you know, Jack Miller is an outstanding player, and I think he can play better yet than what he's played so far. And we're trying to get some other guys involved in our offense right now. You know, we've had some guys that have had some really outstanding games offensively, some guys that are still trying to find their way. So, but one thing we've done a good job all year is playing good, solid defense. Like I said, we're not a very big team, so we got to do a little bit better job of rebounding and hopefully getting the game going up and down a little bit. And then, honestly, shooting the ball a little better. We've not shot the ball overly well the last 2 weeks of the season. You know, we had a nice win over Grundy Center to start break. So, we've won some really good basketball games, but we got to shoot the ball a little bit better and probably do a little better job rebounding. And then, obviously, you know, still trying to find our way a little bit with some new guys playing.
You've mentioned Jack Miller a couple times. Yeah. Your outstanding junior, averaging right around 24 points per game. What does Jack bring to the floor on a nightly basis that makes it so difficult for opponents to contend with him? You know, what goes into maybe what we don't see so he can produce at the level that he has?
Yeah, you know, first of all, he's a, you know, two-year starter. You know, he was instrumental in our run last year. Had a great sub-state final last year, had a great state tournament game. He's a guy that now, last year he kind of played off the ball for us, was kind of a three-man, a wing player. This year he's playing point guard. He's a three-level scorer. He can score from three. He can score it in the mid-range game. He can get to the bucket. So he's become extremely hard to guard. And now the trick for us is getting other guys involved as well, along with him still being super aggressive. So, you know, we're messing around with some things to try to get him off the ball a little bit more, to get him involved in other ways rather than bring the ball up the floor. We have the ability to do that. But first thing with Jack, I think Jack would tell you, he's averaging 25, but he can play a lot better yet. And he's one of the most competitive kids I've ever been around, extremely smart, extremely intelligent. You know, he wasn't happy with how he played Friday night versus Wapsie, and he was the first guy in the gym an hour early on Saturday morning getting shots up for an hour. So we're extremely lucky to have him. One, his leadership is so good. Two, he's a great kid. He's going to work his butt off for us. So I know he'll keep getting better, and our team will keep getting better underneath his leadership.
Jessup High School boys basketball coach Joe Smines, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. The Jayhawks, as I mentioned at the top, 7-4 overall. 3-1 in the East Division of the NICL. That's good for second place right now. It's a hotly contested race in that East Division. And, Coach, just kind of getting back to that sample of 11 games so far, you know, what's become this team's blueprint? When you put the film on, or, you know, even when you're watching it in the flesh with your own two eyes, what is this team doing well when it's playing its best brand of basketball?
Yeah, I think it starts on the defensive end for us. You know, we don't have a single starter over 6'2". Honestly, our post player Brevin Dahl, who guards post players, is 5'9". So we've become kind of a ball pressure switch defense. Have to have a lot of help, a lot of rotations, trapping ball screens, that type of stuff for us to give ourselves a chance. And I think we've hung our hat on that, and we've given ourselves a chance in a lot of games. We had a chance to beat GR playing that way. We beat Grundy Center, who's rated now, doing it that way. Had a great chance at Wapsie. Obviously, we've kind of hung our hat on that. We also want to play fast on offense, and you know, we're still working through a little bit of that because we're so flexible. We have five guys on the floor that can all dribble, pass, and shoot. So, you know, getting those guys into the right positions. But you know, defense has kind of been our thing this year. two or three years ago, we were kind of a, I would say, kind of a softer type defense, gap defense. We've changed that philosophy, and this group's done a really good job of that. And hopefully we can keep hanging our hat on that defensively and hopefully some shots start falling for us here as we go.
Coach, in hearing you talk about your personnel and the fact that you're not a tall team and how you've schemed, you know, given what you have, it makes me think about how has the shot clock, you know, that being in effect this season. Obviously, that conversation starts on offense, so let's start it there. How has the shot clock impacted the scheme and just any and everything else as it relates to your staff coming at your roster?
Sure. You know, I'm a two-headed answer. As an athletic director, I wasn't quite sure I was for the shot clock. As a coach, I'm 100% for it. I think it's a great thing. I go back to my UNI days when I was at UNI with Greg McDermott as a manager on learning how to practice with a shot clock. So we've implemented some of those things, but quite honestly, for us offensively, it has not come into play a whole lot. I'm not sure we've had, you know, more than a handful of possessions get under five in a shot clock setting. You know, we don't play that way. We want to get the ball going up and down. But in practice, we do spend time on, you know, end of shot clock things, running the clock down to end of games, you know, under 10 before we shoot. Some of that stuff you have to work on because, it's all new. It's new for me, too, in a game flow of, you know, when are we still going to go fast and when are we going to slow it down. We're still working through those things. I think defensively, we've done a really good job. I think we've had probably 10 shot clock violations against us, teams that we were guarding. So, we've done a good job on that end of the floor. But, it's been a little bit of adjustment, I would say, more at the end of game and end of quarters than anything. And it's something you got to practice every day. So you got to put in your practice plans and make a conscious effort to work on it. But it's been a really good thing. It's been seamless, I think, for most teams. Has been very few issues. So I think it's a good thing for the state of Iowa for basketball.
Now put your AD hat back on with the, experience here of a third or a half of a season. How does athletic director Joe Smines feel about the shot clock to this point?
I think it's been good. We've been lucky here that we have a guy that a retired official that volunteered to do it, and he do it. And we also have a backup. Every place we've gone, I think it's been extremely well run within our league. I haven't been to a place this year where I thought, they're having trouble, or that doesn't seem to work very well. It's been excellent, I think. I've heard some other places have had some trouble, but I think we've gotten through all of that probably. Is it perfect? No, but nor is a college game you watch or an NBA game you watch. So overall, you need volunteers at this level to have things operate, and our volunteers have been great across Jessup and across the NICL conference. So very pleased with that so far.
I'm glad you brought up the volunteers. Been making a point of that in all the coaches I've talked to so far this season to make sure that we give credit to those volunteers out there, not just the shot clock operators, but everybody that makes high school basketball happen across this state of ours. Couple more minutes here with Jessup boys basketball coach Joe Smines on a Tuesday edition of Colin Company. They've got a game tonight against Sumner Fredericksburg. We'll talk about that matchup with coach here in just a minute. But just circling back to a point you made earlier with, injuries on your team. You're playing about six deep right now, coach. Ryan Treptow, Kale Schissel, Brevin Dahl. They're all averaging about 10 points per game. And, a lot of times you'll see teams where you've got, the 1A guy and you've got maybe the number two, kind of the Batman and Robin setup, if you will. But you've got about three Robins that are paying compliment to what Jack Miller's bringing to the floor. I have to imagine that you and your staff have found ways to make it a little tougher on your opponents to game plan against you because of that balanced scoring that those three are bringing on a game-by-game basis.
100%. Kale, I'll start with Kale. So Kale Schissel has shot the ball very well for us this year. He's playing a two-man for us. At one point, he was in the top five in three-pointers made in two-A. Done a nice job for us. Ryan Treptow, kind of a Swiss Army knife, a point guard growing up. Obviously not playing as much point guard this year with Jack, but Ryan can play inside and outside, can bring it up. He had a 20-plus game, so was Kale Schissel. Brevin Dahl has had a 20-plus game for us this year already. Ryan Durham, who our fifth starter, senior, has also had a 15-plus game for us. So I think we've had six guys in double all seven guys have scored in double figures so far for us this year. I'm a believer you got to have the 1A guy. To be really good, you got to have a 1A, and you also got to have a 1B. And we're still trying to work through that. You're right. We do have about three Robins right now, four Robins. I'd like to see, one of those guys separate and maybe be a 1B for us, and that's what we're trying to get done as we go here. Because when you play really good teams are going to take away your one and two options or one option. So you got to have places to go. We feel like we do. We're just trying to get a little bit more consistent with Kale and Treptow and Dahl and Durham. They've all done a really nice job and have good moments. So we think we have the pieces in place to – to have a successful season here and make a run at the state tournament like we did last year.
And I would imagine, Coach, it's got to be nice to be back at home tonight because of your four losses. So far, they both come in pairs. Before the Wapsie Valley loss, you know, you're at the road at a really good Hudson team and you suffer a loss in enemy territory there. So you're back at home tonight. You've got a Sumner Fredericksburg team that's 3-8, but I would imagine the NICL, not to pay lip service or anything, that you can't overlook any opponent. So just tell us about the scattering report tonight with Sumner Freddy and what it's going to take to be able to get the job done, get a win.
Yeah, Sumner Fred, they play a brand of basketball that has given us some troubles over the years. They've actually won two out of three since break. They beat Owyan, they've beat Columbus, and they played GR pretty close actually for three quarters. So they're playing a little better basketball. They're kind of a, you know, they got 7-8 guys that all play for them, and you know they have no one averaging double figures, but they got guys that are capable. They play kind of a physical style basketball. They're going to get up India. They're going to mix up their defenses, a little matchup zone, some physical man. So it's a game that we've struggled with over the years, you know, to really separate ourselves. The first time we beat them by 30 at third place, but that game was much closer than that. So we know last time they came here last year, we had to go to overtime to beat them. So our guys are dialed in and focused on what we got to get done tonight, try to get the game going up and down, not get into a half-court game like Sumner Fred wants it, and then hopefully knock some shots down and you know, get the game going up and down for us. So, but Mike Quigley does a nice job over there getting his kids to play really hard and play good defensive basketball. I think the shot clock has probably helped them defensively because they do a good job of making you work for a full shot clock normally. So, you know, we'll have to be ready to go tonight and play a physical style of basketball, but also get the game going up and down Jessup style.
Coach, as always, thanks so much for your time. A real pleasure, as always, to learn more about your team. Best of luck, best of health the rest of the way, and we'll try to catch up with you before this season gets away from us, all right?
Thanks, Cole. I appreciate it, as always.
I'm Omar East with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Super Wild Card Weekend came to a close as the Cowboys knocked out Tom Brady and the Bucs 31-14 in Tampa. Dak Prescott throwing for 305 yards and four scores, adding another touchdown on the ground. Dalton Schultz caught seven passes for 95 yards and two scores, as Dallas controlled the game throughout. Brady struggled all night, throwing his first red zone interception as a Buccaneer, finishing 35 of 66 passing. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay running for just 52 yards. The divisional round matchups are set. The action begins Saturday at 4:30 Eastern as the Chiefs host the Jaguars. Then Saturday night features the Eagles hosting the Giants. On Sunday, the Bills host the Bengals at 3 Eastern, and the final matchup sees the Cowboys head to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Coach Ben Jacobson and the red-hot UNI men's basketball team are back at the McLeod Center. Be a part of the action as the Panthers host Illinois State Wednesday night at 7. Panther basketball is affordable family fun with tickets starting at $10. Catch the excitement of live Panther basketball and show your roar Wednesday night at 7. Get your tickets today at unipanthers.com/promo or call 273-4849.
Safety in the workplace is vital to your business. The U.S. Department of Labor states over 38,000 workplace illnesses and injuries happen in Iowa each year. Some of these could be avoided with proper markings. I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. We'll clearly and visibly mark pedestrian areas and danger zones in your warehouse or factory, as well as storage areas, increasing organization and safety in your operation. My team is professional and our equipment is top of the line, ensuring maximum quality and customer satisfaction. Visit us online at A-Line Striping.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. After 22 years in the NFL, Tom Brady's future once again in doubt. The quarterback has had a rough year in Tampa. The offensive line banged up. Team struggled as a whole. They couldn't run the football, but there still appears to be plenty of life in Brady's arm. After the team's loss to the Cowboys last night, can't help but wonder what's next for the Hall of Fame. He's now 45. We don't even question that age anymore, do we? The quarterback officially an unrestricted free agent. As of right now, there are plenty options for Brady. Tampa would love to have him back. Raiders, Niners, Dolphins, all rumored to be interested. And he's got the $375 million broadcasting contract with Fox waiting. It's impossible to predict which way Brady is leaning. He says he's taking it day by day. But with plenty of options available to him, it should be another interesting offseason for the all-time great. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. This message is brought to you by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal information like your name and address from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more. Discover.com/online privacy protection. That's Discover.com/online privacy protection. Open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van and you're opening up more than doors. You're unlocking potential with 16 body types, thousands of ways to customize. A Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help drive your ambitions as far as you want them to go. Now you could win your very own Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van customized by Gretsch RV by entering the Dan Patrick Show's Ultimate Fan Van Sweepstakes. To enter and get official rules, visit danpatrick.com for your chance to win.
Busted. It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
I just think it's just another opportunity for us to get a quality home win against a quality Big 12 opponent. So we've just been preparing like any other game. The coaches have been doing a really good job of prepping us for the game. And, you know, going into the game, it's just going to be like another game for us.
That's Iowa State guard Caleb Grill when asked about Tyrese Hunter's return with the Texas Longhorns tonight. If you remember, Hunter was an outstanding freshman for the Cyclones last season, then transferred. So a little extra with this game tonight. Maybe, maybe not. I'm saying maybe. Pre-game coverage begins after news here at the end of the hour at 6. Enjoy the game.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan. And the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.